to you. God's been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your feet and praise Him. Come on, somebody. Somebody dance. Somebody shout. Somebody praise. Somebody give thanks. Say He's worthy. Say He's worthy. Sing He's worthy. Holy! I'll clap your hands and show him and bless his name. Mighty God. What a wonderful presence of the Lord in the house tonight. Shake somebody by you and tell them it's really good to live for God. Anybody glad to have the Holy Ghost? Glad to have your sins washed away? Glad to know Him in spirit and in truth. Ah, praise God. Praise God. I love Brother and Sister Wells. I'm glad they're in the house. Want him to come tonight. I want him to just come and whatever the Holy Ghost tells him tonight, I want him to tell us. Would you point at him and tell him, you preach to me, preacher.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you glad you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Are you glad you've been made free from sin? Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. I heard it said one time that the only thing worse than a preacher with no message is a preacher with three or four. Amen. I got both barrels loaded tonight. I'm not sure which one I'm going to shoot. Amen. Holy Ghost is going to help us. Mark chapter 4. Great spirit is in this house tonight. What a great church. You know you're in a praising church when on Sunday morning somebody walks by drinking a Red Bull. I was waiting on him to offer me one. Man, if you're going to keep up, you might need one of these. Amen. That'd be a new visitor thing, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. What a great church. Love Brother and Sister Sutton and their family. Doing a great work for God. People that believe in the kingdom. Amen. I like being around people that believe in the kingdom. Mark chapter 4, let's preach verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Amen. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Amen. I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. Praise in the storm. Amen. Very simple. We're not going far tonight, but we're going somewhere. Praise in the storm. So ask the Holy Ghost to help us. God, we need you. We trust in you. We believe in the power of your word. We believe in the power of your spirit. God, we know that you're going to do good things here tonight. God, we know that every one of us are headed somewhere that you're taking us. And God, we put our hope in you. We put our faith in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The book of Mark, chapter 4. And last Sunday morning, I believe, I preached about the book of Mark. The book of Mark is very, very tersely written. It is not flowery. It is not wordy. In fact, and I told you last week that the book of Mark, he runs out of words to use, so he just starts using the big words over and over. And 42 times in the book of Mark, he uses the word straightway. And he's not very descriptive. He's just his writing is very amateur, and it's not like the book of John. It's especially not like any of Paul's epistles. But in Mark chapter 4, we see Jesus and his disciples, and they are sitting on the seaside. And if you are like me and you can't help but think when you read, I see on Mark chapter 4 as it begins that Jesus and his disciples are sitting by the beach, and it's calm, and the sky is a brilliant blue, and the gentle breeze and the smell of sea is coming off the seashore, and they're just sitting around, and maybe one of them had a white and red blanket, and they got a picnic going, and they're listening to Jesus teach about the parable of the seed and the sower. And it is a very calm arena. There's nothing going on. It's just Jesus and his disciples and a multitude of people. And Jesus is teaching them about the seed of the sower. He's teaching them about the kingdom. It's very much like a classroom. There's no pressure. There's nothing really happening that would wow anybody. It's just Jesus talking and the multitude listening. And he teaches about the kingdom, and he teaches about light, and he just talks. And I don't know how long he talked, but he talked for a long time. He talked all the way until nighttime came. And then, as he finished talking with these disciples and this multitude, it's a very platonic arena. We're not going deep here. It's just Jesus, and there's much things that can be preached about the parable of the seed and the sower and the parables of the kingdom. But there's no outside pressure. There's no struggle. It's just Jesus teaching, giving these nuggets of wisdom, and they're writing them down on their yellow legal pads, and they're, I don't know what all they're doing, but it's real easy. And then it gets dark. And when it got dark, Jesus said, "Let's pass over to the other side." Now, we've already preached that can be believed that seven of the disciples were fishermen. They made their lives, their livelihood in boats. And so Jesus springs this that is directly opposed to the rest of Mark chapter 4. Everything in Mark chapter 4 has been easy. It's been nice. It's been calm. It's been peaceful. Jesus has been talking, and there's been wonderful nuggets of wisdom to glean from. And now he throws this new chunk in the wheel. He said, "Let's go to the other side." And they begin to look around, and I don't know about you, but I don't know, I don't really get excited about going on boat rides in the dark. I enjoy riding a boat. I go fishing all the time. I like to fish. But I get kind of nervous when I start running down the river and it's dark and I can't see where I'm going. And I get even nervouser, if that's a word, when somebody else is driving. I told one guy the other day, "Hey, this is me you got in this boat. Slow down." But the But Jesus drops this, and this is not the mode that things are done by. You don't travel by the sea at nighttime. First off, they didn't have lights. I don't know if you never thought of that before. Maybe that little piece of information bypassed you. But they didn't have lights in Mark chapter 4. They especially didn't have GPS navigation in Mark chapter 4. Now I'm going somewhere funny here, but just ride with me for a moment. I don't know about you, but it don't seem like a good idea to go out on the sea at the nighttime. Why don't we wait till the morning? Why don't we go over there tomorrow? We got to get over there for any kind of reason? We just wait till tomorrow and we can go in the morning time. Jesus said, let's go tonight. Okay, Jesus, you're the boss. And I'm sure Peter muttered under his breath, but you don't know nothing about driving boats. So, they get in the boat, and everyone else obviously had the same brain slip. They get in their boats, and they go too. And so now, out on this dark, inky, fluid world, where there's no signs to follow, and there's no map to follow. You ever try to draw a map in the water? Don't work very well. They're not being guided. I got a thing on my phone that when I go fishing, it's a navigation system. And it tells me everywhere I've been on the lake. And it follows my phone, wherever my phone's been, not me. But they didn't have that in Mark chapter 4. They're going out into this nothing, inky, black, dark world. And they're following God's word. Let's go to the other side. I don't know why you need to go over there, Jesus, but we're going to go because you said we're going. And so they go out on this journey and they get out in the middle of the sea, and Mark, with his limited vocabulary, starts writing, there arose a great storm. That's as bad as he could make it. He didn't think of any other words to say. He said, it's a great storm. And Mark got most of his dialogue from the Apostle Peter. And so when the Apostle Peter, who made his living fishing, said, we were in a bad storm, buddy. It was rough out there. He said, the waves beat into our boat, and now it's full. I know Mark doesn't describe it very well, but when he tells you it was a great storm, you can bet your last nickel that it was rough. Mark said the waves beat into the ship. Now it's full of water and we're about to go under. And then somebody remembers that Jesus is in the boat. Now I want you to understand something. We preached about the power of the Word of God last Sunday night. When Jesus said, we're going to preach here in a second, let us pass over to the other side. That was not a suggestion. He didn't say, let's go out into the middle and sink. He said, let's go over to the other side. And all of a sudden, I've forgotten the words of Jesus when I get in my storm. And now the waves are crashing and the winds are blowing and the sky is black and the stars are gone. But I need to just remember that Jesus said we're going all the way across. I don't know where I'm going, but he knows where I'm going. I don't know know what all's coming, but he knows what all's coming. My God, you ought to help me preach for just a minute. I'm on my God. I'm riding with Jesus. I'm on this journey because he told me to go. And everything is going to be all right. Ways are full. I mean, we're going down. And Jesus is asleep. He was real worried about it. So they wake him up. Say, Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? And he looks at him kind of funny. And then he looks at the winds and the waves. And he says, peace! Be still! And the sea became glass. And he got as quiet as it is right now. That's right. And then Jesus whirled around on him, Brother Sutton, and he said, how is it that you have no faith? I often wondered why Jesus said that. These guys don't have the Holy Ghost. I know that shocked some of you. It ain't Book of Acts yet. It was a great storm for Peter to say, hey, dude, it was rough out there. You be sure and tell him, Mark, I know you're going to have a hard time saying it, but you make sure you tell him, we weren't just in no little cloudburst. It was a great storm. And the waves weren't just kind of moving around. They were beating the boat. And it was full of water, and we were going down, and Jesus had the audacity to tell me, where's my faith? So I got to studying. We're fixing to have church. Musicians, go ahead and get warmed up. Jesus said, I told you we were going over the other side. And not only did I tell you, if you'd read your Bible, you would have understood that everything was going to be okay. What are you preaching, Brother Wells? I'm glad you asked. Go to 107, Psalms 107. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. Is that all right? Glad. Thank you. Glad you said amen. This is going to go somewhere here, right here. The psalmist is writing, and the title of this psalm is The Lord's Goodness to Men. And so the psalmist is writing, he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You can praise right there for a long time. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who is that? That's you and me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've been redeemed. I am redeemed. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and get your shouting shoes on. We're going somewhere here. I want you to understand that the writer of this psalm was making sure his audience knew who he was talking to. He was talking to the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. That means this psalm's for you. I'll keep reading. He hath redeemed whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's you and me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. That's us. So he keeps writing. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Who is that? That's us, the redeemed. We were lost when God found us. When he brought us out of the land we were in, we had no home. We had no city to dwell in. The Bible said, you who were not a people, now are the people of God. We never had a God before, but now we got a God. We never had a true God, so we made ourselves God. But now he came to his own, and his own received him not, and he turned to us. And we're the Gentiles, but he gave us a God, and now we're his people. Talk about praising in the storm. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord, where? In their trouble. Not when they got out, not when everything got better, not when things started looking up. In their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. This is as far as we're going. He might as well get on right here. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And then the very first time in scripture, the psalmist takes a praise break. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. This is how we're going to preach it. He's writing, you were hungry and thirsty. You had no place to dwell in, but the Lord brought you out. The Lord delivered you by the right way. The Lord gave you a city, so you ought to praise him. Oh, that men would praise his name. Hallelujah. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. And everybody praises. They jumping and shouting and running and dancing. And then he starts writing again. He said, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for it. Come on, it's biblical. The redeemed, who's he writing to? I was bound by iron and brass. I was bound by drugs, but I cried to him, and he delivered me out of my distress. Oh, that men would praise him. Oh, that men would praise him. He said, why do you want to praise him? Glad you asked. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunders. Hey man, I got a reason to praise him, because he brought me out. It don't matter what situation I'm in right now. I can praise him because he brought me out of darkness. He brought me out of the shadow of death. Keeps writing. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. That means they're addicted. They're in trouble. They're about to die. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise his love. If he's ever healed you, you ought to praise him. If he's ever sent his word and healed you, you ought to shout. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his words with rejoicing. Here we are. They're in a boat. It's full of water. The winds are boisterous. The boat's sinking. But Psalm 107 said this: they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Listen to this: for he he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Amen. It ain't the devil. It ain't my situation. You've got to understand that the Lord is still in control. He commandeth the stormy wind. I may be in a storm, but I think I'll praise him in the storm. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Mark chapter 4. The boat's full. I don't know where I'm going. I've lost my way. The storm has clouded my vision. The storm has clouded my knowledge. The storm has shaken my faith. But I gotta remember that he's still in the boat with me. I'm at my wit's end. I'm reeling to and fro. But God's still in the boat. God's still in control. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord bringeth them out of their distresses. They're reeling to and fro. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. I had something else I was going to preach, but this wouldn't get off me. Hey, man, there's some of you that are in a storm right now. You're going through an economical crisis. You're going through crises in your family, and you got trouble, and you're reeling to and fro. You're at your wit's end. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how it's going to happen. You call your pastor, pray, pastor. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I've come to preach to you tonight that you just stay in the boat. You just keep on believing. You just keep on praising. The storm's out there. The wind's away. I haven't been forgotten. I haven't been lost. The Lord's still in the boat. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distresses. Verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Peter, John, if you'd have just read your Bible, he said the storms are coming.
They're going to go up to the heaven and down to the depths. Your soul's going to melt in trouble. You're going to be weary. You're going to reel to and fro. But you keep reading, Peter. I'm coming out. I'm going to deliver you in your distress. I'm going to make the sea a calm. And not only that, I'm taking you to a desired haven where I told you I was taking you. We're still going. We're going to the other side. I've come to preach to some of you right now. You're in a storm, but you hear me. The Lord knows where we're going. He knows where my ship's headed. I'm not on my way to destruction. I'm on my way to a desired haven.
Word haven. It's the only time it's ever used in the Bible. Right there. It means a port, a place of safety, a refuge. Brother Hagedorn, I may be in my boat, and the boat may be full, and the winds are boisterous, and the waves are beating. But God knows where I'm headed. I'm done. Book of Mark. Sea's calm. They go to the other side, and when they get there, they have a revival. But I've come to preach to you tonight that Psalm 107 was written to the redeemed. Point your finger at your chest and say, that's me. You got the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're redeemed. You got a song the angels can't sing. But Psalm 107. Brother Sutton, the psalmist didn't write Psalm 107 for us to know what to do after the storm. He didn't write Psalm 107 for us to know what to do after he's delivered us. But he gave us Psalm 107 four times in 32 verses. He just stops writing and says, oh, that man would praise the Lord. I know I'm preaching to a praising church, but I've come to tell you tonight that the last two Sunday nights the Holy Ghost has reached into this place and he's calling this church deeper than you've ever gone before, because he knows where you're headed and he's got a place in mind. I'm on my way to a desired haven. I'm not just shouting because it feels good. I'm shouting because I know that in a little while, when I get where God wants to take me, there's going to be a revival. There's going to be a harvest in my family. Anybody can shout when everything's all right. It's easy to shout when you got a pocket full of money. It's like the old preacher borrowed $20 from the farmer every Saturday night. Monday morning, he brought him his $20 back. Preacher kept, the old farmer kept worrying and said, I said, when is he bringing my eat? So he put a mark on that $20. Sure enough, that pastor, preacher brought his $20 back. Same deal. He said, why are you borrowing $20 from me every weekend? He said, well, I just preach better and I got money in my pocket. It's easy to praise when the checkbook's full. It's easy to praise when all your kids are doing good. It's easy to praise when everything's going right and your job just gave you a raise and you're on the top of the mountain. Psalms 107 isn't full of praising when everything's going good. It's full of praising when you're in bars of iron and brass. Cry
unto the Lord, and he'll deliver you when you're in a storm. Cry. In their distress, he began to cry out, Master, would you come deliver us? Master.
I'm done. I want us to back up. Back up. I wish I had some little signs. I wish I had thought and been a good preacher and I'd made some little signs. Distressed area only. But I didn't. So just have to imagine. Just going to draw a line right here. You can't come past here unless you're distressed. In a storm. I'm being Holy Ghost right now. I'm in the spirit. We're not just having fun here tonight. I had a good message I was going to preach, but the Holy Ghost got us right here. There's some people here right now that you're in one of these situations in Psalm 107. You're wandering. You're reeling to and fro. You're at your wit's end. In fact, some of you today said, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I want you to come right now. We're not talking about everybody. Come on, right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now. You need God to work, not tomorrow, not next year. You need God to work right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. You're in your... There's some of you reeling to and fro right now in the Holy Ghost. You're weary. You're at your wit's end. Come on, press in. We're going to take time right here in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come to preach to you tonight that you're not on your way to destruction. You're not going to sink in the middle of the boat. I come to preach to somebody right now. You're on your way to a desired haven. God knows where you're headed. Come on, let it build right now. Let it come out of your belly. Come on. Way down in your soul. In their distress, I want you to get your mouth open, get your hands up, and I want you to cry out, God, God, come on, cry out, come on, this ain't a shouting time, we're crying, I'm crying, God, come down in my boat, God, I need you. Come on. I'm on my way to a desired haven. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Yes. Yes. God's about to work. Yes. 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 Come on, you're on your way to somewhere good.